Let's just seek the Lord, please, in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee this evening, grateful and thankful, Lord, for the opportunity again to approach onto Thy holy courts. And we pray, Lord, You'll bless us tonight. Come amongst us, come upon us, and pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray. We ask, O God, that this night we might be very conscious that God is here. So, Lord, come and be one of our number. Help us, aid us in our worship tonight. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing together the words of the hymn that we learned during lockdown and have sung a few times since we came back as well. His mercy is more what love could remember. No wrongs we have done, omniscient, all-knowing. He counts not their sum. We'll keep our seats as we sing this opening hymn, please. Just to change your positions for a moment, if you can, we'll ask you please to stand for a word of opening prayer as we seek the Lord's face. Let's stand and let's pray. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee tonight that where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for the abounding and the abundant grace of God. Lord, we were rebels to Thee. Lord, we were paupers in the sight of God. We could do nothing to save ourselves. But Lord, we thank Thee that in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into this world to be our Savior. And Lord, we rejoice this evening, Lord, that while our sins were great, and while the debt of our sin, Lord, was mounting up, yet, O God, we thank Thee for the grace and for the mercy of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for that grace and that mercy that was seen in the finished work of Jesus Christ, where there He died. He paid the full atonement for our sin. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight that we are counted amongst the redeemed of God. Lord, we thank Thee tonight for each one that's saved in this meeting. We praise Thee, Lord, that our sins are cast into the sea of Thy forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us. Lord, we thank Thee tonight for the amazing grace of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even that grace tonight will reach into some darkened heart. We pray, Lord, that this night Thy grace will save the lost. Lord, that Thy mercy will be extended to those who have turned away from Thee. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this night You'll be pleased to come and speak to every waiting heart. Heavenly Father, we pray for that, Lord, very real sense that God is here. Lord, we look to Thee. Lord, our hope is in Thee tonight. And so, Lord, come, be one of our number this evening, we pray. Bless, Lord, all that would take place in this meeting. Pray for our brother David. We pray, Lord, You'll help him as he would minister to us in song. Lord, we just pray that You'll give him great help tonight, we pray. Bless around the Word of God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that through the messages in song and through the Word of God, Lord, that something tonight will be used of God to speak to sinners and bring the lost to Thyself. Remember us for good, we pray. Bless each one gathered in the house of God tonight. Lord, we pray You'll remember those watching online. Pray, Lord, again for our land and for our nation. Lord, in the midst of all of this darkness, Lord, turn us, O God, we pray. Cause Thy face to shine upon us. Lord, wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee. Come with that reviving power. Come, O God, with that restoring touch. And Heavenly Father, we pray You'd be pleased to answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome again to Sandown this evening our brother David. Always delighted to have you, David, with us. And welcome Ashley as well. Pray the Lord will bless you as you come and minister to us. And so now, the Lord bless you.
Run.
David, thank you very much indeed for those messages and song. As a question, you need to answer yourself. You can only answer yourself. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know my friend? Not just do you know about him, but is he your Savior? Is he your friend? I trust and pray that tonight, if not, that you would come and know him. Lord bless you, David. Thank you so much. Blessed by those messages and song. We will turn tonight for a scripture reading to Genesis chapter 4, please. Genesis chapter 4. Read a few verses together. Bring the announcements, and then we'll get David to come and sing for us again before we come to the Word of God. But Genesis chapter 4 tonight, I want to speak on the subject of a tragic testimony. A tragic testimony. Genesis chapter 4, and we will read from verse number 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to our hearts. At this stage, let me bid you all welcome in the Savior's great name. We're glad to see each one and so many gathered in God's house tonight. We welcome you in the Savior's name. Also to those who are watching online our global broadcast, we're glad to have you join with us as well tonight. Tuesday night, we have our Explorers Club online as normal at 7 o'clock, so please do remember to tune in for that, please. Then on Thursday night, we have the discipleship course here in the church at 8 o'clock. And this Thursday night, looking at the subject of the Christian and alcohol, and if it is right, and what the Scriptures have to say about drink and alcohol. And so you come on Thursday night and hear what has to be said. Our brother Paul will be speaking on that subject on Thursday night here in the church. And then, as we announced this morning, after that, from Friday onwards, there will be no public meetings in the church over the next 2 weeks. That means that there'll be no youth fellowship on Friday night, as was planned. However, we are planning to have a video, sending out a video on Friday night instead, but we'll give more details of that closer to the time. And then next Sunday, the church sadly will be closed, and we are disappointed, very frustrated by this, especially when we think of the subject that we're looking at on Thursday night, the Christian and alcohol. You can go and buy booze all you want, but we can't gather together publicly for worship. And so let's not be naive what's going on here, how anybody can see an off-license as being essential, and yet church not is beyond me. But then we've got to remember that we are under ungodly leaders in our land, and wickedness in high places is certainly abounding. But for this time, we will abide by these restrictions for these 2 weeks. So church will be closed on Sunday for public worship. However, the broadcast will continue online and will go out live 11:30 and 6:30, both or all through the various channels, our sermon audio page, our Facebook Live page, and also our YouTube channel. All of those will be used to broadcast the morning and the evening service next Sunday, live from the church here. Now, because the church will be closed from Thursday night onwards for the next 2 weeks, we are asking that all those who have shoeboxes for the Serve Youth Appeal, if you could bring them in by Thursday night, if you haven't already done so, and I know many of you have already, we appreciate that. But if you can bring them in by Thursday night, that would be appreciated, because once we come back from the time of lockdown, it will be too late to get the shoeboxes to those who need it. So please bring them in by Thursday night if you can. And if anybody needs any of the shoeboxes lifted and you're not able to get them, please do let us know and we will see to that. The Vision magazine is available today. If you didn't get a copy this morning, please make sure you get one this evening. They are all free of charge, and you take one with you and enjoy the reading that is there. Also, the LTBS calendars, priced $3.50, still available. And let's get these all cleared up and get the money off to LTBS as soon as possible. There are no offerings being taken up at the moment, but you can place your offerings and your tithes in the boxes as you leave. Do continue to remember all those in prayer who need our prayers, the sick, those who are shut in, that the Lord will draw very close to them at this time. These are all the announcements, and as always, they are made subject to the will of the Lord. At this stage, we're going to ask David if he'd come again and sing for us, please. The Lord bless you.
Sins calling fair.
Again, David, thank you so much for your help tonight in our gospel service. He said you'll be sick listening to me in Sandown. I can assure you, David, we would never be sick listening to your singing. If I could sing like that, I'll leave that for you to fill in. If I could sing like that, I wouldn't preach. You could say amen to that. But we always enjoy, David, always thoroughly enjoyed his ministry and song. And again, tonight, the Lord bless you, and the Lord continue to use you as you seek to use the talents the Lord has given you for the furtherance of the gospel. Genesis chapter 4, please. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and the word to verse 16 will form the basis of what we want to consider this evening as we look at the subject of a tragic testimony. It is the testimony of Cain. Verse 16, Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. If you can, let's stand again, please, just to change your position for a word of prayer before we come to the preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for a sense of Thy presence. We thank the Lord tonight for that glorious freedom. Lord, I rejoice tonight for each one in this meeting who can say, free from the law, happy condition. We thank the Lord tonight that we've been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, you'll bless the messages and song. We pray, Lord, you'll bless David as he continues to minister for Thee. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, Lord, that someone in this meeting, still held in the snares and chains of their sin, Lord, that this night they'll come and they'll be set free. And they'll be able to sing, Lord, with a heart that is true and a heart, Lord, that is redeemed, glorious freedom. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray tonight you'll come and help us in this meeting. We pray, Lord, that now as we come around the Word of God, speak to hearts. Lord, we pray that you'll be pleased to speak, Lord, with that voice that wakes the dead. Lord, we pray you'll open blinded eyes. Lord, we pray that you'll break down hard and stony hearts. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this night you will be pleased to bring the lost to thyself. Answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is always a great encouragement and blessing to hear of how someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we're all saved the one way. We're all saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other means of salvation. There is no other way that you can be saved but through the blood of Jesus Christ. But while we're all saved the one way, there are a variety of ways that people are led to that point of conversion and salvation. And so it is good to listen and to hear of the workings of God in the life of an individual, and to hear how grace has worked in life, how grace has convicted a life, and how irresistible grace has won and saved a life. Yet tonight, I want us to consider the testimony not of a delivered life, but rather sadly of a doomed life. The testimony of a life that really should strike fear into the hearts of each one tonight. Because tonight, as we consider the account of Cain, the firstborn of Adam and Eve, his testimony truly is terrifying. Because essentially it is summed up there in the words of verse 16. "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." What a truly terrifying testimony. What an awful account to be written over any life, to go out from the presence of the Lord, to go away from the Lord, to depart from the Lord. Now you read on in chapter 4, you'll see that Cain lived on for some time after this. He actually went on to achieve much in the eyes of humanity. But Cain eventually died as he lived, still in his sin, and still rejecting the way of the cross as his only hope and plea. And he went out from the presence of the Lord in time, and sadly in eternity, he was cast out from the presence of the Lord for all time. To those tonight who are here without Christ, I want you tonight, like never before, to sit up, take notice and listen as the Holy Spirit strives and speaks. Don't let this terrifying testimony tonight, this tragic testimony, be said of you. Tonight, don't go from this gospel service where I believe the Lord's presence is already felt, where the angels of the Lord are already in attendance tonight, because they are always in attendance when the gospel is preached. As the Holy Spirit is speaking and striving, I plead with you tonight, don't go from the presence of the Lord and, like Cain, then be cast out from the presence of the Lord for all eternity. Tonight, don't let your testimony be a tragic testimony. Don't let it be said of you tonight that you went out from the presence of the Lord. As we consider this tragic testimony in the life of Cain, I want you to see, first of all, with me here, a promising start. A promising start. You see, Cain had such a promising start in his life. In fact, his early life was full of hope. It brought hope. Cain was not just the firstborn of Adam and Eve, but you will know that he was the first of every firstborn. The first birth recorded in Scripture is his, and as such, this first birth brought great hope. Adam and Eve had sinned. God had cast them out of the garden. He had pleased that fiery angel with the sword, barring them from re-entering into the garden and that place of paradise, and it seemed that there was no hope. They had gone from that place of peace and tranquility to a place of pain and sorrow, hard work and labor, and then eventually death. It seemed that all hope was gone. But then Eve was expecting her firstborn, and what a time of excitement and joy that was. The firstborn in every home always brings a time of great joy and happiness. And so it is into this dark time came a bright hope. The seed of the woman would continue on through Cain, through the firstborn. The Lord had been merciful. The Lord had been long-suffering. And now Eve was blessed with being the first mother. Blessed with being the first woman in the history of humanity ever to hold a little one in her arms. And you'll see that the name Cain itself shows just how blessed and thrilled Eve was with the birth of her firstborn. Verse number 1, we see that Cain means, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Eve gives glory to the Lord for this particular blessing. What a promise. What a start. Cain was brought him to a good home by this stage. Adam and Eve converted now. And Cain had the potential to make the very best of his life. But sadly, as we'll go on to see, he spurned those blessings. And he did his own thing. In verse number 3, we see how that both Cain and Abel brought the fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. What does that tell us? That tells us that Adam and Eve brought up their children to put the Lord first. That tells us that Adam and Eve taught their children how to properly worship God, how to follow the Lord, how to order their lives according to the Word of God. You see, see Kenaz with Abel was brought up to fear the Lord, brought up to respect the Lord. But Cain thought he knew better. He had a promising start. He had the best start that any child could want. And how many start well? How many start out with great hope and great potential, and yet, as we'll go on to see, like Cain, turn their back on the Lord? The early years of Cain are not recorded, because very quickly we move from verse 1 into verse 3, from his birth now to his work. And I tend to think that those years of youth were years of rebellion in the life of Cain. That rebellion that we'll go on to see was manifested in a very stark fashion. But here was a man who had a promising start. Here was a man who had everything going for him. He had the blessing of being brought up in a home where God was put first, taught the ways of God. And yet he turned his back on that. Did his own thing. He had the potential of fulfilling a life of blessing, but his life fell very far short. You see, folks, it's not about how we start, it's how we finish. Cain had a promising start, but he finished very badly. And here you are tonight with all the blessings that God has lavished upon you. Perhaps a parent, a mother, or a father loves you in the Lord and desires to save you, another relative. And they've taught you the things of God. They've instructed you in the things of God. But here you are still tonight rejecting those things you were taught, and turning your back on those things. There's a promising start here. But I want us to go on and see, secondly, now, in the life of Cain, there's a proud spirit. A proud spirit. You see, as we come into verse 3, we see all the hallmarks of a life of sin and a life of rebellion. Cain was a proud, arrogant man who thought he could do what he wanted, live as he pleased, because what he thought was good enough for the Lord. He had a proud spirit. He had a proud heart. A heart that manifested the depravity and the pride of life. In verse number 3, we read that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now you'll see that in verse number 2, Abel was a keeper of sheep, Cain was a tiller of the ground. They were both hard working. They were both in respectable occupations and callings. Cain actually followed in the footsteps of his father. But we see in verse 3 how that in the process of time, Cain brought what he thought was good enough. Cain brought the fruit of the ground, while Abel, as we see in verse 4, brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And we read in verse 4, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. God approved Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's. Why? What's the difference? Why did God accept the offering that Abel brought, and why did God not accept the offering that Cain brought? You see, Cain brought his own efforts. Cain brought the efforts and the labors of his own hands to God and said to God, here is what I have done. Here are my efforts, here are my labors, and I'm presenting them to you as the way to God and a way of sacrifice. But you see, God didn't want the labors of his hands. The way of God and the way of worship and the way of sacrifice was not of the fruit of the ground, it was by an animal sacrifice. When Adam and Eve sinned in Eden, how was their sin covered? Look at verse 21 of the previous chapter. Genesis 3, verse 21. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be the shedding of blood for the covering of their sin. When God did that, what was he doing? He was choosing an innocent substitute to atone for the guilty sinner. You see, in the Garden of Eden, God established the pattern for approaching him that has never changed. The only way we can come to God, the only way we can approach God is by a substitute. Not by our own efforts. That ultimate substitute and sacrifice, of course, brings us to the cross. Brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world as our substitute to pay the price for our sin, to make atonement for our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, from Genesis through to Revelation, God's way of cleansing sin has remained the same. It was by the blood of atoning sacrifice, not by the labors of man's hands. We see it there in Genesis 3:21. We see it on the day of Passover. What was it that was going to cover the firstborn in every household in Egypt? It was the shedding of the blood of the lamb slain and then put on the doorposts. You see it as well in the Day of Atonement. What was it that the high priest brought into that holiest of all on the Day of Atonement? It wasn't his own efforts. It was the blood of a sacrifice. And it was that sacrifice that made atonement and opened up the way to God. It's the substitutionary, sacrificial atonement is the only thing that God will accept. You notice the wording there in verse 4. Genesis chapter 4. Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. The firstlings there suggest the best, the first offspring, the very best. And the fat thereof speaks of careful preparation. You see, Abel brought the very best. He carefully selected the best animal he had. He took time to prepare that sacrifice. And then he killed that sacrifice. And he brought that sacrifice to the Lord and offered it there by faith. You see, Abel went out of his way to bring the right sacrifice. Abel knew that blood shedding was required. Abel's sacrifice said that he believed God, he trusted God, and he took God at his word. In the book of Hebrews, we read that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel's sacrifice said, I believe, God. I believe the only way that I can come to worship thee, the only way I can come to approach thee is by the way of the blood atonement. Cain, on the other hand, brought of the fruit of the ground. Cain brought what he did himself. And Cain brought his own efforts to the Lord. Cain, as a tiller of the ground, went out and plucked up those crops and said, there you go, Lord. That's my sacrifice. That's my offering. I'll come to you my way. You see, in Abel there is an acknowledgement of sin and the need of a Savior. But in Cain there's neither. Cain neither acknowledged that he was a sinner nor that he needed a Savior. Cain depended on what he did. And so many tonight are depending on what they can do. Is that you tonight? What is it you're offering to God? What is it tonight that you're bringing to God as the sacrifice and the way that your sins can be atoned? You saying to God, I'm a good person. I do my best. I'm a good citizen. And you could rhyme off a list of things that you do week in and week out. There is nothing that you or I can do that will ever be acceptable to God. Because it's all that the Lord has done for us. That's the only thing that's acceptable. You see, God rejected the offering of Cain because Cain was saying to the Lord, I'll come to you my way. I wonder tonight, is that what you're saying? I'll get saved my way. I'll do my thing. Listen tonight, that will be rejected. You will be rejected. What Cain essentially was doing there in verse 3 was rejecting the blood atonement as the only way to God. He was rejecting the sacrifice of blood as the only thing that God would accept. Listen tonight, God will not accept your religion. God will not accept your works. God will not accept anything that you can do to save you. The only thing that He will accept is what has already been provided in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. And you see, Cain's heart was hard and rebellious. Cain refused to come God's way. God's way is the way of the cross, the way of sacrifice. Hymn writer says, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. And listen, sinner, you miss the cross, then you miss heaven. There is no other way your sin can be atoned for. There is no other way you can be saved. In short, Cain rejected the gospel. God rejected him because of a proud, stubborn, rebellious spirit. I wonder, could that be said of you tonight? Are you pleading before God everything that you can do and everything you have done? Are you bringing before God tonight what you are and all that you are? Listen, tonight it'll never be enough to save you. Don't reject the sacrificial, substitutionary work of Christ on the cross as your only Savior. There is only one way your sins can be forgiven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's not through a church. It's not through morality. It's not through your good living. It's only through Christ. Cain brought his own efforts to God. He said, "There you go. Is that what you're doing?" How many people tonight across our province are doing the exact same thing and going in the way of Cain, saying to the Lord, "There you go. I have my religion. I have my church. I have my uprightness. I have my charitable deeds. Lord, that's going to be enough for you." The thing is, it'll never be enough. Because just as the Lord rejected Cain's offering of works, the Lord will also reject your offering of works as well. There's a promising start. There's a proud spirit. A man who refused to humble himself under God and to come God's way. That you to me. Refusing to be saved because you think you're good enough. You'll never be good enough. I want you to see as well that there's a profound statement then. Verse 16. It's one of the most tragic and terrifying summaries of a life could ever be written. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Notice the word there, the little conjunction there in verse 16, "and." It's almost now at verse 16. The chapter of Cain's life is closed as far as the Lord's concerned. "And Cain went out." Yes, he lived on for many years after this. But spiritually, this was the end for Cain. He went out from the presence of the Lord despite the privileges, despite the promising start. Cain did his own thing, turned his back and the gospel of grace. Because remember, the gospel is in Genesis just as much as it's in any other book. Notice in verse 7 how that Cain rejected the grace of God. We read in verse 5 how that God had not respect unto his offering. Cain was wroth, his countenance fell. And notice the grace of God. Verse 6, first of all, "The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" There's the grace of God. God was giving Cain another opportunity. If you do well, if you come the blood way of the cross, if you do as I command, and don't bring your own efforts, if you do well, you'll be accepted. He was giving Cain another opportunity. "If thou doest well." In other words, you accept the blood atonement. You accept the finished work of Christ as your only hope, as your only way to God and your only means of salvation. And you turn away from your own efforts. You come the way of the cross, then you'll be saved. "Shalt thou not be accepted?" The words are framed there in such a way that it means you come that way, you will be accepted. And tonight you come the way of the cross and you come to Christ pleading for his forgiveness, you will be accepted too. God gave Cain another opportunity. even though he didn't deserve it. There's the grace of God. Though he rejected the way of the cross, though his sins were great, thank God there was still mercy. And tonight in this meeting, there's still mercy and grace extended to you. In fact, the very fact you're here tonight is all but of the grace of God. And all this was made the greater that, in fact, in the light of the fact that Cain was wroth, Cain was angry, as we see in verse 5. Such was the hatred of his heart. How dare God not accept what I have brought? How dare God refuse and reject my offerings? It's the very best, and no doubt it was the very best of crops. But you see, even our very best is not enough for God. The very best of your efforts, the very best of your labors, it's not enough for God. Cain was angry, but God was still merciful, gracious. Cain, you see, was mastered by his sin. In 1 John chapter 3, in the verse 12, the writer there writes a commentary, really, on this whole account. And John says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. You see, Cain was mastered by sin. Cain, as we know, went on to be the first murderer. Let me read to you what the rest of verse 12 says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works, Cain's works, were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do you know what? Cain was guilty of the blood of the righteous. Cain was guilty of putting to death the righteous one, the accepted one. He was guilty of the blood of the righteous. You see, tonight, that blood cried out for revenge. But thank God tonight, in the gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ cries out forgiveness, speaks peace. And you know, sinner, tonight, that's what you're guilty of too. Every time you reject the gospel, you're guilty of trampling under your feet the blood of Jesus Christ. You're guilty of turning away from the blood of Christ and rejecting Christ. You're guilty of the blood of the righteous one. And one day if that sin is not forgiven, that sin of guilt is not forgiven in time, that sin will rise up to condemn you in eternity. Cain was guilty of the blood of the righteous one. That blood cried from the ground. Cried for justice. And that's what Cain received. Thank God tonight the blood of Jesus Christ cries peace and forgiveness. Because in Jesus Christ on the cross, justice and mercy have met. The justice of God that demands a payment and the mercy of God that provided the way that atonement and that payment could be met in Christ. Perfectly, wholly, entirely. And tonight the blood of Jesus Christ speaks peace and forgiveness. You see, you reject that blood. You reject that way. That blood in eternity will rise up to damn your soul. Cain, from a human point of view, went on to do great things in his life. He went on to build the first city. It is said that Cain was the instigator of civilization, great culture. Oh, he had achieved much as far as this earth was concerned. But spiritually, he was dead to sin. When he went out from the presence of the Lord. As he went out from the presence of the Lord, you read there in verse 15, he had a mark on him. It's not the mark of the beast, by the way. It's the mark of the damned. And every sinner has that mark upon them tonight. The mark of the damned. The doomed. He was sealed for hell. He went out from the presence of the Lord. Quite possibly to be the first to be cast out from the presence of the Lord in all eternity. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord unrepentant. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord unforgiven. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord unsaved. What a tragic testimony. To go out from the presence of the Lord and then to be cast out from His presence in eternity. No matter what you might have achieved in this life, no matter what else could be said of you? Let this never be said of you. Let this testimony not be your testimony tonight. Heed the warnings. Realize that God in His grace is striving with you. The Lord's presence is in this meeting tonight. God forbid that you should walk out the doors into the darkness of the night. Walk out of the presence of the Lord for one last time. What a tragic thing it would be to walk from this church, having heard the gospel, to go to hell because you thought you were good enough. Oh, tonight, don't walk from the presence of the Lord. Don't run from the presence of the Lord, but rather tonight run to Him. Come to Jesus Christ tonight. You'll be saved. Because there's mercy tonight. There's still grace extended. Cain went out. Sinner, tonight may you come in. May you come and be saved. Don't leave it any longer. Don't wait another moment. God has been gracious and God has been long-suffering. This is the only time you have. This is the only moment you have. Tonight, your front door, your bed, it's not promised to you at all. Therefore now, while the Spirit is striving, come to Jesus Christ. And whatever you do, don't walk out without Him tonight. But rather come to Him and be saved. And He will save you. He will forgive your sin, no matter how often you've rejected Him, no matter how often you've turned your back, no matter how much you've said to the Lord, I am... do my own thing. I'll do my, come to God my own way. No matter how many times you've said that, you come to Jesus Christ, His way, which is the way of the cross, you shall be saved. Whosoever Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise tonight. And you can claim it if you will but come. In God's name, don't walk out from the presence of the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we pray, Lord, that tonight there might be none would go the way of Cain. But, O God, we pray that there will be those who will come the way of Abel, come the way of blood sacrifice, come the way of the cross. Lord, we thank Thee tonight that there is forgiveness. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that there is cleansing. Oh, we pray, Lord, that tonight You'll bring the lost to Thyself. And as we remain in prayer tonight, the very tragic thing is that for the next number of weeks we will not have our public services as we would want. In the will of God, we will be able to open the church again in a few weeks' time. But how do you know you'll have another opportunity? How do you know that you'll have another time to get right with God? How do you know? You don't know. You need to come now. Don't leave it any longer. Because tomorrow is just eternity hidden from your view. Tonight you are in this place where the gospel has been preached while it has come in weakness. The grace of God has been here. But don't go to eternity, to a lost eternity. And the reality is tomorrow you could be there. Get right with God and do it now. You want to speak to me? You say that to me in the way out. Where you are tonight, you can cry unto the Lord, Lord, save my soul. Forgive my sin. And come into Thee, come into my heart. Whatever you do tonight, don't go out from the presence of the Lord. Go out into the darkness of a night and go out into the darkness of a lost eternity. Come tonight to Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bless Thy word. May Thy Holy Spirit strive. And may this night some lost one come the way of the cross. Answer prayer. In the Savior's name we pray.